1941. La Pesach for Pesach. On page Kof Memches. Okay. Maisa Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, They were sitting in Bnei Brak in Rabbi Akiva's hometown and they were talking all night about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Achubo, Tamideim, Va'amru Lehem, Rabboseinu, Higiyaz Man Kriyash Mashal Shachris. Holy Rabbis, it's time to recite the morning Shema. V'isa b'sefer HaKadosh Beis Aaron, Shedikdek Gisi, Harav HaKadosh Reb Aaron Zatzal. In one of the many, there are many Sfarim called Beis Aaron that have been written in Jewish history. The Rebbe says, my Gisi, Gisi means my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law wrote a book called Beis Aaron, and he points out in that Holy Sefer, what does it mean, Ad Shabau? Until the Talmidim came. First of all, where were they coming from? Me'ayin Bo, where were they that they showed up at this Seder? V'tiris lo aviv, at Shabau Talmideim gam kein leklal madregazo. So he brings an answer that perhaps what it means is until the Talmidim arrived on their Madrega. Achubo Talmideim gamken laklal Madrega zo. Until the Talmidim reached the level of the Rabbeim. So we spoke the other week a little bit about the connection between the Rabbeim and the Talmidim in this story. But what does it mean that the Talmidim reached their level? They somehow lifted them up to their level. Again, bear in mind this is Rabbi Akiva's Seder. It's in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was the town of Rabbi Akiva. So what exactly does that mean? That they somehow drew the Talmidim in to their Madrega. So the Rebbe begins, "Lefi matzaveinu efshar lomar, ki noda hadiok b'mefarshei Haggadah." A question that we raised yesterday, in one of the pieces on the Haggadah, that the Mefarshim on the Haggadah point out, "Hasha'oso ha'pasuk shemerumos bo ha'tshuva leben rasha, merumos bo l'she'ena yodei elisho." It seems that the same pasuk that we use to answer the Rasha is the same pasuk we use to answer the She'enu Yodei Elishol by saying, Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. It's because of this that Hashem did for me when we left Mitzrayim. But what's the difference between the Rasha and the She'enu Yodei Elishol? Which word do we highlight in a kind of an aggressive way when we speak to the Rasha? Li. Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li. God did this for who? For me. And what do we say in the Haggadah? Me, but not you. B'im kain, lama darshan b'harasha li v'lo lo. Why does the Haggadah, when it quotes this pasuk, when it talks about it for the She'enu Yodei Elishol, it leaves it, this is what Hashem did for me, and presumably, you're also part of the me. But when we talk to the Rasha, we say, no, b'avur ze'as Hashem li, and the Haggadah says, li v'lo lo. You, for me, but not for you. You're excluded from this. You're not part of this. So I don't understand. It's the same pasuk for the Rasha and the She'enu Yodei Elishol. Why for the She'enu Yodei Elishol do we assume that the Li includes him as well? Hashem did this for me. Right? And by saying me, I'm saying to my child, I'm saying also you, for us. Even though I'm speaking from a personal place because it's supposed to be a personal experience. But for the Rasha, we have to go out of our way to say me, but not you. Whoa. Why are we so... Why is the Rasha not included? It's part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
Why is it low?
Yeah, interesting. Awesome. We're talking like at the Rasha. Yeah. We're talking about the Rasha. We're not addressing him directly. Some of the Mefarshim say, because you don't want to engage in dialogue with the Rasha. We kind of talk at the Rasha, but we're sort of kind of projecting that if you're going to be negative at the Seder, we're not going to talk to you directly. We're going to remind everyone else about, watch out for this guy. So we're kind of talking about him even though he's there, which is interesting. That's a good insight that you picked up on. Okay, so the Rebbe explains, we have to understand what it means to be part of the Klal. What does it mean to be part of Klal Yisrael? What does it mean to be part of Nishmas Yisrael? And the Rebbe says, Aval Isha Yisraeli Eino Prati La'atma. First and foremost, Chaver, you need to know that there's no such thing as a Jew who operates independent from others. Rak L'kol HaKlal Yisrael Hu Shayich. Everything that we do in our life has a Hashpa, and is through our connection to what the Klal Yisrael. In other words, Kishe'echad lo mei Torah v'ovidas Hashem, oz meir b'zeh Klal Yisrael. The guys who are learning right now are having a hashpah on the guys who have not yet come to shir. Right? or not able to come to shir today, or the person who's not in our shir or in any shir. The Jewish people are connected to each other. So when we learn Torah, that has a hashpa, that illumination from the ner mitzvah Torah, or when we do mitzvahs, when we learn Torah, that lights up Klal Yisrael. And we receive from the light of other tzaddikim, right, from other people. V'yachid sheshav mochlin lo l'chol ha'olam kulo. The Gemara says in Maseches Yoma that even an individual who does tshuva can sometimes bring mechila not only upon himself, but upon the whole world. Meaning, this is part of the idea that a person has to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Right? You've heard that? Maimer Chazal. A person's supposed to say, Chayev Adam Lomar. A person's obligated to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. We also find the concept that every person, right, in other Mamari Chazal, we find this notion that a person is an olam katan. Everyone's a miniature world. So on the one hand, this seems very gaivadik, you know, I'm the whole world. But part of what we're learning here is that it means that my efforts, my behaviors impact the whole world. Not in a gaivadik way, but in a way of responsibility. Meaning, I have a responsibility for someone on the other side of the world. When I daven seriously, it protects people on the other side of the world. When I talk during davening, it creates problems for people on the other side of the world. When I learn seriously, it brings illumination upon people on the other side of the world. And vice versa. So when I do tshuva, again, says the Gemara, a yachid who does tshuva brings mechila not only upon himself, but upon the whole world. Because he is the whole world. He's an olam katan. Mishvili nivra ha'olam. Right? The Rebbe's not quoting that Maimer Chazal, but I think it's so much this idea. Lachein kishomer l'she'enu yodea lisholi. So when you say to the innocent, she'enu yodea lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask, you say, Hashem did this for me, does that include him? The answer is, of course it does. Because anything that a Jew experiences, every other Jew is connected to. So when you say to the innocent, She'eni Yodei Elisho Li, Ba'avur Zeh Asa Hashem Li, God did this for me, Azhu Gam Lo, that certainly includes him as well. The problem with the Rasha, and we're going to see how the Rebbe grapples with the Rasha. On the one hand, he is a Rasha. On the one hand, the Haggadah says what it says. At the same time, we learned yesterday, we never give up on a Jew. We know that. We know we never give up on a Jew. But the Rasha is doing something to detach himself from the Tzibur. When the Rasha chooses proactively to not be part of the Tzibur, then, unfortunately, the Haggadah has to reveal the truth. Then the good things that are happening to me, then the mitzvahs that I'm doing, remain for me, and I can't share them with you. Because you've chosen not to be connected to me. Even if you're a She'eni Yodei Lishol, even if you're passively connected to me, so then we share. We share our mitzvos, we share our Torah, we share our spiritual energy, we share that goodness, right? Automatically, just because Nishmas Yisrael is inherently connected. But if you make a conscious decision to disconnect, then what can I do? Then my mitzvos are mine and not yours. Then we're not connected. Then your averos are yours and not mine. At a certain point, you're outside of my orbit. You've chosen to detach yourself. And the Rebbe says that's perhaps the secret of that very strange phrase we find in the Haggadah, Hake Eshino. Blunt his teeth. Slap the Rasha across the face. What does that mean? The Efshar Shizeu Gam Inyan Hake Eshino, says the Rebbe two lines to the bottom. This is the idea of blunt his teeth. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bey is an interesting halacha. Ben Bagbag taught, Al tichanes lechatzer chavercha, don't go into your friend's backyard, litol es shalcha, shelo bereshus. Don't go into your neighbor's property to take back something which belongs to you, to take shalcha, to take that which is yours, without permission. Let's say you have something in your house that belongs to me, right? Let's assume that what? That I have every right to take it back. But I still shouldn't be found in your property, in your house, without permission. Why? Shema tira alav kaganov. Because then I'm going to look like a ganov. I'm snooping around your backyard. Right? And the cops show up and they say, what are you doing here, sir? Oh, I was just getting something that was mine. Right? It doesn't look good. So rather, if you need to, you know, confront someone to take back something which is yours. Let's assume they took it against your will. They took something that belongs to you, and now you want it back. So says the Gemara, don't go sneaking around, because then you're going to look like a ganav. What should you do? Look at the Gemara. Elishvor es shinav, break his teeth. Va'amar lo shaliani notel, break his teeth and say, I'm taking back that which is mine. Says Rashi, shvor es shinav, break his teeth. Klomar kach bechazaka. Don't do it in a sneaky way. Do it in a way that it's clear and announce what you're doing. I'm taking back that which is mine. So there's no confusion about what's happening here. Not sneaking in the middle of the night to try to get back that which is mine. Go forcefully, right? Which the Gemara calls breaking teeth, and demand that which is yours. Say, I'm taking back that which is mine. Take it b'chazaka. Take it with chayzak, with strength. So what are we doing to the Rasha? What's this idea of break his teeth? Taking back that which is yours. When I learn Torah, I share it with everyone. All of Klal Yisrael. When you learn Torah, you share it with all of Klal Yisrael. When you daven Shmona Esrei, the Shmona Esrei is what? For all of Klal Yisrael. Not just in the words, the fact that it's Baruch Aleinu, and it's Rifa'enu, and it's Lachlanu. It's not just that it's in Lashon Rabim. But Memeila, our souls are connected. So every time you do a mitzvah, right, everyone else gets a little, you know, a little bit of a illumination from that mitzvah. But why should the Rasha benefit from our learning? Why should the Rasha benefit from our spiritual illumination? He's taking something which he doesn't deserve. You understand? Spiritually, he's taken something that doesn't belong to him. So when he comes to the Seder and he acts in a way that shows I'm not really part of the klal, well, then I want my mitzvahs back. I want my Torah back. I want my Meisim Tovim back. You got a little dividend. You were collecting a little interest payment for my mitzvahs. I want it back. So Hakei Ashinov explains the Rebbe Shiroin Bezeh Shichdei Lito Es Shalom Miad Chavero Omeres Hagemara Lashon Shviras Hashinayim. When it comes to taking back from your friend that which is yours, it's called breaking teeth. Bezeh Hakei Ashinov Shehu Hayayachu Likach Es Chelak Shalom Mimcha Bechazaka, to take back your portion with strength. Kegon Shegam Ba'avodascha Yesh Lo Chelak Shalom. That when it comes to your avoda, the Rasha got a chelik of your avoda. He got some of your mitzvos. But now you're not part of the tzibur. So then you don't get the perks of being part of the tzibur. So we say to the Rasha, right? Again, alluding to this Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, give me back my mitzvos. I say, Ata lehefech. V'achzeik mishalau, asher tachas yodcha. Not only can you not have what's mine, but I want it back. And I'm going to demand it back. V'amar lo, leave lo lo. Right? What's mine is mine and not yours. You don't have a right to my... If you're part of Klal Yisrael in a real way, so then we help each other. But if you're not part of Klal Yisrael in a real way, then you don't get to reap the benefits. Chaver, let me just, before I take your question, I brought in today Dr. Hillel Abramson, Henry Abramson, who wrote his book on the historical context of the Eish Kodesh. Because I was very curious, who's the Rebbe talking to? Right? Who's the Rebbe talking to at this time? So he writes the following on page 167. He says, viewed through the lens of ghetto life, the Jews who most closely conformed to this vision of separation from the community were the members of the hated Jewish police. The Jewish Order Service was created from the membership of the Labor Battalion, formed by the Judenrat in October 1939, to supply the Nazis with forced labor. In other words, the Nazis were asking for Jews to sign up to be what? To be police against fellow Jews. With the closing of the ghetto, the Nazis mandated the establishment of Jewish enforcers, mirroring the function of the Polish police. The Jewish police were unpaid. In fact, the rigorous application process carried a hefty fee. But Jews who implemented Nazi policies were I don't think the word is spelled right. They were given ration cards at the Aryan level. In other words, they got food. Right? So if you became a police officer against the Jews, so you would get food. The principal benefit, however, was the extensive array of opportunities to extort bribes in exchange for turning a blind eye to smuggling activity. Strutting about in pseudo-military guard, you can see a picture here, right? They gave them, uniforms, and they had them on bicycles. They were the ones who were supposed to enforce Nazi rules. Strutting about in pseudo-military guard, patrolling the ghetto in bicycle battalions, or walking the street carrying batons, they had to pay for them. They had to pay for themselves. The order service exemplified the Jewish taskmasters who collaborated with Egyptian overlords thousands of years earlier. Full of self-importance, the Jewish police even commissioned a Yiddish language anthem for themselves and staged their own theatrical productions. Immediately before the Rebbe delivered his Pesach sermon, the Jewish police reached what was possibly the nadir of their popularity as they forcibly rounded up thousands of young men and boys for forced labor on April 19th to the 21st of 1941. The Rebbe, true to his pre-war philosophy, was loath to abandon any Jewish soul, and apparently extended this even to those members of the Jewish order service. Somewhere within the heart of even the cruelest of them, argued the Rebbe, was a spark of compassion for the Jewish people, as he explained when he talks about the Russia. But that's who the Rebbe's talking to. He's saying there are Jews who are turning their backs on Jews and becoming, you know, Jewish police officers. And at first, that's who the Rebbe's criticizing here. The Rebbe's saying, if you separate from Knesset Yisrael, again, he's saying, this is the Russia at the Seder. But you'll see at the end, as we just said, the Rebbe's going to try to be Malamei Tzchus and try to pull them back in. Because again, the Rebbe can't give up on a Yid. It's too hard for him to give up on a Jew. But at the same time, he's saying to the people, look what we've become. Look how there are people who are Hoti Atzom and Akla. And the Rebbe, who believes so deeply in the Geula that they were going to experience, which again, in many people's mind, if they were going to get out of this war, this was Mashiach. The Rebbe is saying in very powerful terms, if you're not going to be part of the suffering of the Jewish people, then you're not going to be part of the celebration of the Geula. Right? That's what we say. That's what the Gemara says. A person who doesn't cry over the Chorban is not going to truly be able to celebrate the Nechama when it comes. If we don't feel the loss of Beis HaMikdash, if that doesn't bother us, then we're not going to appreciate Mashiach when it comes. So that's what the Rebbe is speaking to at first. The Rebbe is saying, if you separate from Klal Yisrael, even though you think you're joining, you know, kind of the winning team right now by helping the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, you should just know you're losing all of the spiritual efforts and all the spiritual rewards of the Jewish people. We're going to take that back by force. That's what the Rebbe said. Okay? Okay, Jack, what do you want to say?
No, I just wanted to know why then I understand that in saying, what's the deal with the teeth? What does the mitzvot and the Torah that you're sharing with your friend have anything to do with the teeth?
Because again, breaking the teeth, he's saying, is just a muscle that we're borrowing from Bava Kama to take back something which is yours. Because when I learn Torah, I would think that that's my schar. No. What we're learning is that the schar that I get when I learn Torah is shared with every Jew. Because we work together, we're a team. And the schar that, you know, that you share with others when you learn Torah is also. But the Rasha who takes himself off the team, so why should he be reaping the benefits of your Torah, of your davening, of your tzedakah, of your everything? So breaking the teeth, again, is this image. Again, it's just what the Gemara says. Punch him in the face and tell him I'm taking back that which is mine. So what the Rebbe is saying that is what we're doing on a spiritual level with the Rosh at the Seder. We're saying all this time you've been collecting merit on behalf of being part of the team. The Jewish people share the merit with each other. But if you're going to take yourself off the team, so this is reminiscent of that Gemara in Bava Kama, I'm going to come into your home, I'm going to punch you in the face, I'm going to knock out your teeth, I'm going to take back that which is mine. That's what we're saying to the Rosh. You can't have it both ways. If you're on the team, you can reap the benefits of being on the team. If you're not on the team, then give me back that which is mine. I want my schar back. I'm not sharing my hard-earned, you know, efforts in learning and davening and avoda with you. Yeah.
Why should we even include the Rosh in the Seder?
Okay, so that's always the, you know, kind of the paradox of the Rosh. On the one hand, he's sitting at the Seder. On the other hand, he's kind of projecting this very negative vibe. So at first, the Rebbe says, we got to put him in his place. We have to remind them, if you're not going to be part of the team, there's going to be consequences. Right? You can't have it both ways. You can't have the perks of you know, receiving from the generosity and the kindness and the concern of the Jewish people for one another, on a spiritual level even, and at the same time to set yourself apart. But yeah, I'm a Jewish police officer. What do you mean you're Jewish? You're turning your back on the Jewish people. Call yourself Jewish all you want. Yeah, but the Nazis don't like us either. Okay, but you're working with the Nazis the same way that, you know, God forbid people were working alongside the Egyptians to take advantage of their fellow Jews. It's terrible. So that's who the Rebbe is addressing first and foremost. Yeah.
Doesn't that create more separation, though?
The Rebbe's saying the Russia makes a choice. You chose to be hotzi atzma min haklal. We didn't kick you out. You chose to not want to be part of this.
Yeah, but maybe he just doesn't really know.
Okay, so we're going to be mekayivim. We're still going to be mekayivim. We still have a little bit to go. But we'll pull him back in. Don't worry. We're not going to give up on him. Yeah.
For the Yudana, what if they were under threat of death? What if they said, like, become officers or we're going to start killing people?
Yeah, no, there's a lot. Right. Right. Be malamitzchus, and who knows the complexity of it. Yeah. Yeah. Right. The way that Rabbi. Right. The way that Dr. Abramson was describing it here, it sounds like they took, you know, a certain pride in being. You know. They carry themselves as if, you know, we're special. We're special. It was very, he said, that the height of that popularity of joining this Jewish order service was April 1941. People were signing up. They thought this might be, and again, we can't, you know, as outsiders, it's hard for us to judge on any level. I mean, were they, you know, trying to position themselves to save their own lives? They were starving. They needed food. Okay, but the Rebbe is saying, but you don't abandon Klal Yisrael. You don't break away from Klal Yisrael. And our account, the Rebbe is saying, maybe you get more food, physical food, but spiritual consequences, we're taking back all the schuyos, all the merits that we've shared with you, we're taking them back. It's not free of charge. Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of I'm not sure why they were making comments about the Jews who became police officers, but I feel like it was more they were kind of forced into it, or the people in charge kind of made them do it.
Again, it's hard for us to know what the feelings were.
If you want to compare it to the first slaves in Egypt,
right.
and there was a point of Jews over Jewish slaves, they didn't just randomly become that. They were appointed by
right.
the Egyptians. If you want to compare it to more recent years, in countries in Africa, the Hutu and the Tutsis, that whole situation originated because they put one person
right.
over the other.
Right. Right, they created that hierarchy, right? And the Rebbe is also talking to individuals who, you know, again, understandably so, are only focused on themselves. Everyone wants to save them, you know, every person is trying to save himself. There's limited food and there's limited resources, and the Rebbe is trying to remind Klal Yisrael what it means, again, especially in the context of Pesach, what does it mean to be part of a Klal Yisrael? I told you, the Medrash says that it was only when the Jews started to show concern for each other in Mitzrayim, instead of everyone focusing on their own workload and their own obligations to Paro, when they started to lend shoulder to one another, the Medrash says, so that's when Hashem said, okay, now I can make a Klal Yisrael. There's an inherent connection that the Jewish people share that can never be severed. Right? But the Rasha is you know, trying to saw himself off from the roots. He's trying to cut himself away, which we'll see. Okay, all right, you wanted to say something?
Question. What does the Tanis and Tzitzim analogy? That's what I'm talking about.
What does it say? What analogy?
Don't leave the
Tzibor. Don't leave the Tzibor, yeah. I don't remember. I don't know. Track it down, let us know.
I was trying, I can't find it.
Okay, but know that I can help. I can probably help you find it after.
You know what I'm talking about now?
Yeah. I do now. I wouldn't have thought of it, but I remember it now that you're saying it. Okay, being part of the Tzibur. It's a big Inyan. Okay, remind me right after this year. I'll find it for you. The Efshar Od Lomar Bezeh. So the Rebbe says, Kuf Mem Tes, the middle paragraph. We could say further. Lefi Shehotzias Atzmo Min HaKlal. The Rasha took himself out of the Klal. So what does it mean to be part of a Klal? The Rebbe says there's two types of Klalim. There's two types of being part of a tzibur. There's two ways to come to a klal. A klal means a general rule. Ki kvar dibarnu shiyesh klal shenasa rak min apratim nifradim. Sometimes a klal, a rule can be established, can be determined from the pratim nifradim, from the separate details. What does that mean? He gives a simple mashal. Kegon ema'av nosein eza yamim mos labana. Let's say a father on Sunday, he gives his son $10. And then on Monday, he gives his son $10. And then on Tuesday, he gives his son $10. And then on Wednesday, he gives his son $10. So Thursday morning, the kid's expecting what? I know the klal, I know the rule. The rule is my dad gives me money every day. Now, there's no indication that that's true, right? But he's looking at these pratim nifradim, these separate occurrences, and he's starting to try to derive, okay, there's a pattern here. Apparently my dad gives me $10 every day. As osaha ben klal, so the child derives the rule, shebechol yom yitin lo, that every day my father's going to give me. Vizeo klal shenasam in pratim vasios hanifrados. So by seeing patterns of behavior, I can try to derive a general principle. But the truth is, the pattern, the principle that this child has established may not be true. Right? His father could give him $10 a day for an entire month and then stop. But he says, but I thought I'd get $10 a day. Well, that was only for 1 month. Right? So your impression of what the rule was, based on the pattern that you had thought, that you had discovered, was not necessarily true. Subject to change. But then there's a klal, there are certain klalim, there are certain binding factors, there are certain rules. There's a sense of collective connection, right, that is absolute. V'yesh klal sheba'emes hu etzem echad pashut. There's also what can be called an essential and simple unity that exists. Sha'pratim heim anofim asher mistafim mimenu ulamata. That everything is rooted, everything is a branch rooted in that which preceded it. Ukisha'olim el hamakor va'ikar. And when you trace back the roots, the foundation, the starting point, ozba mela'achtos, then you come to that place of oneness. And he's going to give an example of a tree. Ukechol sha'olim yoser, yoser misachtim ba'amakor va'ikar va'achtos. And the further you trace it back to the roots, so to speak, the more of a oneness you'll be able to see. The mashal kasharoim she'eza peros kishenaflu mina eitz minifredu mina shorish nirkavu. If you see an apple lying on the ground under an apple tree and you see it's nirkavu, you see that it's rotting. It's detached from the tree. Yodim kvar she'ashorish ha'le'ilan achdus achas hakol ha'sakol. So you can start tracing it back. So this apple is an independent fruit. Now it's detached from the tree and it's starting to lose its source of life. Okay, so let me put the apple now back onto the tree. It still looks kind of independent. Well, now let me attach the apple to the branch. Let me see it as part of this branch, which has several apples growing off of it. So these other apples are like brothers and sisters to this apple. Let me follow this branch. Oh, this little branch goes back to a bigger branch. Let me follow that back even further. And the further I go, now I'm back to the trunk, and I see the oneness of the whole tree. So the Rebbe is saying, "Ha'olim, ha'anofim, gama peiros, the leaves, the branches, the fruit. If I trace it all back to that point of achdus, v'gam ha'olim v'anofim af ha'etz, kishayivdulu min ha'shorash yirkavu. Any part of the tree, if it gets severed from its roots, then it's going to rot. V'vneishu v'embes b'ha'shorash kulam es achdim b'achdus achas. Why is it? Why is it that once it separates from the tree, all of a sudden it doesn't? It's not as alive anymore? Because it must be that it truly came from one source. And to the degree that it's connected to that source, it's able to draw from that life source, that life force. And just like a fruit, the same thing is true about anything that separates from its source. The more connected you are to the source, the more alive you are. The more you understand your place. The klal hazeh lo nivna me'apratim. And this klal is not established backwards. It's not a group of leaves or branches that got together and said, let's make a tree. They be'emes come from one source. It's not that the fruit is the main thing or the branch is the main thing or the leaves are the main thing. And they got together to make a klal. In other words, the Rebbe is saying, you can't join the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. The Jewish people are not bound together because it's advantageous to be together. We're essentially one. Our shoresh, our makor, our root is one. Rak lehefech, it's the very opposite. Ha'ikar hu ha'shoresh. The main thing is not the fruit. It's not the branch. It's not your independent existence. Your independent existence is the most removed part of yourself. Trace back your separate life to its shoresh. Go back to your parents, go back to your grandparents, go back to Har Sinai, go back to Knesset Yisrael, go back to the place where all of our neshamas are bound. Ha'ikar hu ha'shoresh, v'sham heim ba'achtus, and there you'll find that there is no difference. There's no difference between an Eliyona and a Shlomo Baruch. It's the same thing at the root. On the surface, it's two different people. And from there, from that common place, so then we can start to talk about this is a leaf, this is a branch, this is a fruit. But the starting point is the Jew has to know that the klal, the Knesset Yisrael, the tzibur of the Jewish people, right, is not a pattern that has chosen to establish itself which can be broken. There's an essential connection. There's a shoresh, there's a root. Says the Rebbe in the bottom paragraph, Ge'ein zehu inyan ha-klal Yisrael. Lo ha-klal nasa min ha-prat, rak lehefef. We're not a collective that was formulated by a group of individuals who decided to get together. The opposite. Ha-prat nistayef min ha-klal. My individuality is an offshoot of that klal. Klomar lo mipnei sha'anashim pratim Yisrael nis'agdu yachad. It's not that you can go and make a group. He's talking to these guys who joined the Jewish police. You made your own little group. You can't make your own little group. You think it's going to bring you more life? It's going to bring you death. Because you're cutting yourself off from your own shoresh. Right? Klal Yisrael is not about a group that chose to work together. L'chein nasa b'zeh Klal Yisrael. That's not Klal Yisrael. He says, Rak ha'iker hu nishmas Yisrael. The shoresh, the root, the trunk, the tree, from which we all emerge, is called Nishmas Yisrael. Hakoleles Kol Yisrael. It encompasses, it's an all-encompassing part of the Jew. Umimenu Nistafu Anashim Pratim. And from there, our various branches can sprout, and they should sprout. Umemela Kol Od Shalo Nischaber HaYisho Klal Yisrael. V'lo Alamin Pratius Atzmusa El Nishmas Yisrael. The more you separate yourself from the tzibur, the harder it is to get what? To get close to Hashem. Why? He says very simply. Because Hashem is the root. So that means if I see myself as being different, yeah? From Isaac or from Eli, or from David or from Yoni, so then the farther I am from you, right? So then I'm trying to become my own branch, my own fruit, but that means I'm moving away from my shoresh. If I'm farther away from the shoresh, that means I'm far. So how can I be an independent apple and still want to be close to Hashem? How can I be close to my root if I'm trying to be my... I can't have it both ways. To the degree that I'm connected to you and I see the commonality of me and you, so then I'm connected to Hashem. But I can't get close to God. I can't ascend the ladder, so to speak, if I'm going to pull away from you. Because then I'm just a little branch. Raka klal ba'achlis va'etzem hu. Says the Rebbe two lines from the bottom. When I see myself as part of the tzibur, then I can reach higher levels of holiness. Then I can get close to Hashem. It's a stira minayu bechaver. Just internalize this line. It's a contradiction for a person to say I'm close to God, but I'm not connected to the Jewish people. It's impossible. To the degree that you love Hashem, you have to love the Jewish people. The degree that you love the Jewish people, you'll be able to get close to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, as we turn the page to the top of Kufnun, Moshe Rabbeinu, we have one more page to do. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, was on the 49th level of holiness, of understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu never got to level 50. Right? There's 50 Shari Bina, there's 50 gates of understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu got to level 49. And it says that in the Svar Makadoshim, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, and he's buried in a place called Har Nevo, where he ascends Har Nevo, so the tzaddikim say Nevo is Nun Bo. And Moshe, in his death, reached level 50. Is it possible for a person to make it to level 50 in their lifetime? There's a tzaddik who we somewhat assume made it to level 50. His name was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was able to reach the highest level, maybe on a level that's even higher than Moshe Rabbeinu on a certain... I hope what I'm saying is not kfira. Rabbi Akiva was a very... There was no one who loved Klal Yisrael and was moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael, for Torah, like Rabbi Akiva. Of course he reached the highest level, closest to Hashem. Because to the degree that a person loves others, and that's what made the tragedy of his students not respecting each other so tragic, dafka because they were talmidei Rabbi Akiva, when a person loves Klal Yisrael, of course you can reach the highest levels. Rabbi Akiva was mamish a neshama. His whole being was neshmas Yisrael. That's why Rabbi Akiva's gematria neshama. Rabbi Akiva's gematria neshama. 395. His whole being was neshama. Yeah.
This past paragraph we just read said that you can't love Hashem if you don't love Klal Yisrael.
You can't be close to Hashem as you're pulling away from the Klal. That's correct.
So I assume it's vice versa too.
For sure.
If you don't love the Russia, you can't be close to Hashem.
For sure. For sure. That has to be the punchline here, right? Meaning, so what do I do? What do I do with these Jews who are pulling away? But if I choose to disconnect from them, so then I'm also missing a part of myself.
But does that also mean that also open doors? If you do show love to these Russians, then you see it as, oh, what I'm doing is fine because they still love me. So like I can do what I want.
It's tricky. So he's gonna show why even the Jew who's pulling away in his heart of hearts is still a Jew. He's gonna explain it in a second. Let's see a little more inside. V'nei tzaddikim agadolim bitlu es atzmusam v'yeshusam legamri. The big tzaddikim, they didn't care about themselves at all. They are mevatel themselves completely. V'rak avas Yisrael v'nishmas klal Yisrael haya ikra atzlam. All they cared about was what? All they cared about was the Jewish people, the soul of the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva Omer v'haftal v'echa kamocha, that's everything. Zek klal gadol b'torah. If you have that, you have everything. If you don't love the Jewish people, then you'll never get anywhere. Because first and foremost, you got to go back to the root. You got to go back to the trunk. Where does the tree come from? Ha'iskarvis el klal b'chinas v'ahavta, lo iskarvis el klal Yisrael b'levad, ragam b'torah, levo el nishmas ha'torah. Rabbi Akiva is teaching us that the klal gadol b'torah, if you want to get close to Torah, you have to love klal Yisrael. If you want to get close to Hashem, you have to love Klal Yisrael. If you want to get to what he's calling here Nishmas HaTorah, the Neshama of the Torah is connected to the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. You can't have one without the other. And therefore Rabbi Akiva says, who died a martyr's death, obviously Rabbi Akiva is very powerful in the words of the P.S.S. Rebbe, he would also die al Kiddush Hashem. L'chein Amar kol yamai ha'isi mitztar al pasuk zeh. My whole life, says Rabbi Akiva, I was thinking about this pasuk. What does it mean to love Hashem with all of your nefesh, b'chol nafshecha? Afilu notalesh nishmascha, even if Hashem takes away your soul. And Rabbi Akiva said to Marty, I used to say, Masai yavo liyaldi ve'akaymenu. When will I have the opportunity to give my soul for Hashem? What does that mean? Why would you want to give your soul? Don't you want to be alive? If you're alive, then you could serve Hashem. Why would you want to die? Rabbi Akiva was so not concerned with himself. He was so disconnected from his own needs that Rabbi Akiva, in his obsession with Avas Yisrael, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, Rabbi Akiva said, I want to prove that I'm prepared to die on behalf of the Jewish people. It's not about me. I live for Nishmas Yisrael. L'chein lo hirgash atzmas la'atzma. He didn't even feel. He was totally unaware of himself. Rakchuka li'cholo kula makur ha'elyon. I don't want to be a separate Rabbi Akiva. I want to be able to give myself back to my root, to connect myself to the makur ha'elyon. What a deep idea. It's so powerful coming from the Rebbe, who was also that. So now the Rebbe says, let's go back to what Yaakov is bothered by. What are we going to do with this Rasha? What are we going to do with the Jew who separates from the Tzibur? So the Rebbe says we have to be malamed zchus a little bit. Aval gam ha'ish ka'archenu, she'enu b'chinas esbatlis atzmuso legamre. Even a person on our level, we're not Rabbi Akiva. We are a little bit selfish. And we do care about ourselves more than we care about someone else. And that's just reality, the Rebbe says. And certainly, again, the Rebbe is addressing those Jews who have sided with the Nazis on a certain level in order to offer greater protection and food for themselves. He's talking to a Jew who's just concerned with himself, again, rightfully so, trying to survive himself. It's hard to think about others. So the Rebbe says, even someone who's not on the level of Rabbi Akiva, of the tzaddikim who are mevatel themselves entirely to Nishmas Yisrael, kevan she'al kol panim be'etzem b'koro hu nimtza b'klal Yisrael. But nonetheless, even a Jew who doesn't necessarily feel a deep love for every Jew, doesn't feel that he loves every Jew equally, like a Baal Shem Tov, like a Rabbi Akiva, like a Berdichever, like an Eish Kodesh. It's hard to be on such a level. But nonetheless, L'chein b'mida she'oved im atzmuso, l'mad es tavoso, but to the degree that a person does a little bit try to diminish himself, a little bit less focus on my own taivos, uvechlal lemay es she'ifaso el atzmu, so a little bit less of a she'if, of a drive for my own self-actualization. If I can do it a little bit, if I can think of another Jew before Pesach, uvechdad lehetiv im anashim yisrael, if I can show care and concern, if I can call up that friend who I haven't spoken to in a while, who I know is not holding in a great place religiously, if I can reach out to him, if I can think about him, even though I have a lot of my own things to be busy with before Pesach, ulidog es da'agosam, ulismoch b'simchasam, if I can feel the pain when I hear, lo aleinu, terrible reports of a Jew who was killed in a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael, can I feel a little something? Or when I hear Baruch Hashem, a simcha, do I feel a genuine sense of simcha for another person? We can work on it, says the Rebbe, and little by little, we start to what? To reveal our connection to Klal Yisrael. We celebrate each other's smachos. We feel each other's pain. We share in each other's Torah and mitzvahs. That's how we started the whole piece. Right? When you learn Torah, you share it with another Jew. When he learns Torah, he shares it with you. On a spiritual level. But to the degree that we still feel more concerned for ourselves than someone else, it's because we haven't been mavatal ourselves to nishmas. We're not living like Rabbi Akiva enough. Aval gam shorish Yisrael bo, v'nishmas haklal bo, ola b'chol pam yoseh. But it's still alive within me. My connection to the Jewish people is alive. It's strong, and hopefully I can continue to nurture it, and to bring it out more and more and more. He gives a mashal. He says, imagine, k'mo mashal. Kishe'echad roe, she'yelad Yisrael nafal chas v'chalila b'na'ar. Imagine, God forbid, you see a Jewish child falls into a river. Yitzak v'yarutz la'atzil, you would scream and run to save this child. V'im b'in ha'yaladim gam yelad shalo yireh, and let's say one of the kids was your own kid. Let's say two kids are drowning in the river. One of them is your own child. Right? Or maybe not at the same time, even separately. Let's imagine you had the opportunity to save a stranger, a child you don't know, drowning in the river, versus if you saw, God forbid, your own child fell into the river. If it was your own child, as Yitzhak Yoser, v'yarutz el albino, you would run that much faster for your own child. So would you say that what? Because you love your own child more, does that mean you don't love this other child? You would jump into the river to save this other kid also. But obviously, on a certain level, let's be honest, if it was your own child, you'd feel it that much more. But you still care about the other kid. He's still important to you. Chas v'chalila, chas huva oivosa. God forbid to say you don't love that child. You do love that child. Right? We understand why, on a certain natural level, you feel more connected to the apple that grows on the same branch as you, your own child. But God forbid to say you don't love that person. But you feel it's a little stronger, your connection to your own child. Because, let's be honest, if your child wasn't in danger, it was someone else's kid, and it wasn't a choice of who to choose, of course you'd save that other person. So the Rebbe is saying, of course you're putting that little piece of bread that you have into your own child's mouth. Does that mean you don't care about the other Jewish kid who's starving? Of course you do. It's just, what choice do I have? I have to, of course I feel more connected. Again, I'm not Rabbi Akiva. I'm not on the level where every Jew is equal by me. I have Jews who I feel more connected to. But that doesn't mean that I'm not connected, God forbid. It just means that life is overwhelming and it's hard to think about every Jew. And it's hard to cry over, it's hard to cry because unfortunately our hearts are hardened. So we hear, a sad news report about a Jew who was killed in Eretz Yisrael in a terrorist attack, lo aleinu. Heard way too many of those recently. And it's hard. It's hard to feel connected. And of course, it pains us on a certain level, but it's hard. If it was someone you knew, of course you'd cry differently. Does that mean what? You don't care about this other? Of course you care about this other Jew. Right? But for whatever reason, we're not in love. We're not Rabbi Akiva's. We're not in love with Rabbi Akiva. But says the Rabbi, what about this Rashi? Right? But if a person, God forbid, and the Rabbi's being strong, He's trying to be malamiz chus, certainly on the Jews of the ghetto who are, who again are focused on themselves more than others. But the Rebbe is also being very firm about a Jew who pulls away. A Jew who says, I want nothing to do with it. There are real consequences, says the Rebbe, in the last two lines, little paragraph. Aval ha-rasha shehotzias atzmo min haklal. But the Rasha who says, I want nothing to do with this. He's hotzias atzmo. Atzmo means etzem. Etzem means his essence. He's cut the tree out of the ground. He's uprooted the roots. He separates himself from the klal. Sha'atzmus shalo eino haklal yisrael. Raka'atzmus shalo lavad. He doesn't feel any connection. Again, we all feel more connected to certain people than other people. The Rebbe's saying, I understand that. You're not... Okay, so keep working on it. Try to love all Jews equally. But a person who says, I'm totally independent. I want nothing to do with this. So what does it say in the Haggadah? He's kafar be'ikar. You know what that means, kafar be'ikar? Usually we say kafar be'ikar means what? He's a kafir. He's denied a fundamental principle. Right, but what has he done? He cut out the roots. Right? He's denied his roots. Kevan sha'ikar hu klal yisrael. It's a powerful line. Ikar is klal yisrael. The essence is klal yisrael. That's the root. That's the common ground. So if you're going to cut your apple off the tree, well, guess what? It's going to start to rot. Right? The clock's going to start ticking much faster. So now let's go back to where we started and just end the piece. So we started with the Maisa, with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, and Azari, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfo, and they were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were going all night until what? Until the Talmidim came and said, it's time for Shacharis. So says the Rebbe in the last paragraph for today, on the top of the next page, Shayagam Rabbi Akiva Benayam. I told you this is not just Rabbi Akiva was among them, but this was Rabbi Akiva's Seder. It was in Bnei Brak. That was Rabbi Akiva lived. So when Rabbi Akiva's running the Seder, when Rabbi Akiva's the head of the Seder, says the Rebbe, Shekol kach avad be'inyan avas Yisrael. What was the theme of Rabbi Akiva's Seder? The theme of Rabbi Akiva's whole life, which is what? This is the klal. So Rabbi Akiva Seder, he was able to inject such a degree of Avas Yisrael, such a sense of unity. At Sha'omer Zeklal Gadol B'Torah, At Shabo Talmidehem. Rabbi Akiva, what? Rabbi Akiva was the type of person who didn't draw a distinction between we're Rabbeim and you're Talmidim. I'm this type of Jew, you're that type of Jew. On the Seder night, again, as we mentioned above, he says, from the Sefer Beis Aaron, Shagam heim bo al yedei zel lamadregazo. He was able, Rabbi Akiva, by creating such a sense of klal, such a sense of nishmas Yisrael, the Talmidim were drawn into the Rabbeim. Physically, the Talmidim showed up, but more than that, the Talmidim reached the level of the Rabbeim. The Talmidim were telling the Rabbeim what to do. They're colleagues. They became colleagues. What do you mean? I thought, you're the Rebbe, you're the Talmud. Where's the hierarchy? Rabbi Akiva was tearing down those hierarchies, because Rabbi Akiva said, again, especially in the formation of Klal Yisrael on the Seder night, everyone has a place. Everyone's equal. They reach the level of the Rabbeim. Haynu sha'avodaso b'layla zeh, pa'ala gam l'talmideyem, kevan shehu lo haya la'atzmo. When a person operates for himself, so he creates levels, he creates madregos, he creates different degrees of closeness. But Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's Seder, Dafka Rabbi Akiva, Dafka on the Seder night, there's a sense of what? The Talmidim, the Rabbeim, it's all one and the same. Kevet Shehu lo haya la'atzo, rak l'kol Yisrael kulo, ubiprat l'talmidim. Well, the more so, right, the way that it's easier for a Rebbe to love his Talmidim because he feels connected to them. But Rabbi Akiva created such an energy on the Seder night that everyone was what? Everyone was created like equals. Everyone was pulled in. Achabo Talmidim. Talmidim reached the Madrega of the Rabbeim. Because that's the Avas Yisrael that we're supposed to feel at the Seder. So again, on the one hand, again, the Rasha is setting himself up for trouble. Don't be Kofar Be'ikar. Kofar Be'ikar doesn't mean to deny God. It means to deny my inherent deep connection to the Jewish people. It's a klal that's not made up of pratim. It's not that the Jewish people had similar values, so we got together and made a club. It's that our neshamas be'etzem are one and the same. And therefore we share. We share positive experiences. We share, God forbid, negative experiences. My mitzvos affect you. Your mitzvos affect me. My averos affect you. Your averos affect me. We're all connected to each other. Right? But the Rasha, who, God forbid, decides, I don't want to be a part of this. So then we have to break his teeth. We have to take back our mitzvot. We say, I'm sorry, I can't share my mitzvot with you if you're not going to be part of the tzibur. very, very sad for the Rasha. But again, like was pointed out earlier, to end on a positive note, the Rasha still comes to the Seder. So, you know, maybe when we break his teeth and start taking back our mitzvahs, he'll be like, "Whoa, what do you mean? I can't have the perks of receiving from you." No, not if you're not concerned. If you're not part of the tzibur, then we're not going to share our schar with you. And hopefully that, you know, that allows the Rasha to be transformed. Like we learned yesterday, then he becomes the Sheini Yodei Alisha. He becomes innocent again, and then we're able to start having a positive hashpah, fill him up with goodness. Yeah.
Said that the
Tamidim
became at the same level, so just a little confused. Why they called
Tamidim? Right, Achabo Tamidim. Because I guess, you know, they were Be'emes Tamidim, but Achabo, that they reached the level of the Rebbeim. You know, they're telling the Rebbeim what to do. They showed up and told the Rebbeim. They treated them like colleagues. They became their equals.
Yeah, I was thinking about something. Maybe like could be that end of the Seder, they
return
back to the status of Talmidim.
Right.
And that's when they said, oh,
Seder's
over,
it's Shema. Right, interesting. Ah, Achabot Talmidim, aha. Meaning when they realized that Talmidim had gone back to being Talmidim.
They knew it was over. They were grounded.
Interesting. That's interesting. Right, that's interesting. Yeah, there's a time and a place for a hierarchy even among Jews, right? Parents and children are not the same. But on the level, on the night of Nishmas Yisrael, on the night that we're able to celebrate, you know, why did Hashem choose us? We're on the 49th level of Tumen Ritzrayim. On the outside, we were rotten. But Hashem looked at our Shoresh and saw Nishmas Yisrael and chose us from that place. Yeah. It's a nice way to say it, though. Yeah.
I don't know the full idea behind it. I just thought it was also interesting. Or like the Chabad concept of like there being a fifth son. Or like the fourth son, like
right.
Russia, like at least he's actually there. The fifth son right. Doesn't even know he's Jewish to begin with. He's
right.
Not at the Seder.
So the one who's not even at the Seder, right? Yeah. It's a deep idea. But yeah, we have to give a little, you know, credit to the Russia that he shows up. And again, the piece that we learned yesterday, once you blunt his teeth, again, he's filled up with all sorts of negative knowledge, which is getting in the way. But if I can humble him, then he becomes essentially a She'eni Yodei Alishol. And that's why we give the same answer to the She'eni Yodei Alishol. Bavur is that Asa Hashem Li. But at first, we have to say to him, leave a low love. We have to realize there are consequences for pulling away from the Jewish people. And again, it's just a strong message in general. You know, you're not gonna get ahead by pulling away from Klal Yisrael. You're not going to get ahead in the world, and you're not going to get ahead spiritually. Right? There's no way you're going to be able to do more as an independent Jew than by being part of Knesset Yisrael and sharing each other's mitzvahs and carrying each other, lifting each other up.
And knock out the rotten teeth.
Okay, so let's knock out our rotten teeth. Be zeichet to be connected to the neshama of the Jewish people.